Hi, this is Jessica Williams Gibson, newsroom manager at the Indianapolis Recorder newspaper, and you're listening to Afternoons with Amos on AM 1310, The Light.
All right, welcome back. 239-1310. 239-1310 is Afternoons with Amos. So this morning, Mayor Greg Ballard went to IPS School 55, which is over on East 54th Street between College and Keystone. With Superintendent Dr. Lewis Farabee, Superintendent of IPS, to talk about the mayor's proposal to spend $25 million by eliminating the local homestead property tax credit and provide that money to augment and increase the number of quality preschools in the city and provide vouchers for 1,300 four-year-olds to attend preschool over a five-year period. So we get over to the school, and oh, it was designed to be a lovely, cute television photo op that you'll see on television later today. They took us all into a classroom, Drew, with about 10 to 12 four-year-olds who were there on their third day of school ever. There were two teachers in the room, the teacher and the teacher's aide, the paraprofessional. And they ushered us in, and the classroom was doing some exercise in a circle with the teachers and all the photographers. We all fell in love with taking the pictures of the kids. Then they sat the mayor down at one of those four-year-old tables. So he had to scrunch on a four-year-old's chair or a four-year-old table with two kids. And then Dr. Farabee was scrunched over in a four-year-old at a four-year-old's table with a four-year-old's chair, working with some observing students' work. Dr. Farabee, being a teacher, was engaged with the kids. He was talking with them, asking them questions. They're responding. He's responding. The mayor at his table was just sitting down there looking at the kids, not really talking to them, had his glasses down on his the crown of his nose, kind of peering down at the kids. Then they let us out of that classroom, walked us down a couple of halls, put us in a room where the mayor sat down in a regular chair. And Dr. Farabee sat down in a regular chair, and instead of normal mayoral press conferences where the mayor makes a statement, the other people at the press conference make a statement, and then maybe we get to ask questions, or they end the press conference without us asking any questions, they just cold open it for questions. And the reporter started asking questions of the mayor and Superintendent Farabee. And basically, the mayor wasn't answering any of the questions, and Dr. Farabee was. And I just kind of looked at him and had my microphone out, and I really had not, I've been to a few mayoral press conferences the last 3 years, but had not really felt like asking the mayor a question, because A, I figured he wasn't going to answer my questions anyway, and B, he might kind of get snarly and snarky and stuff. But we also know that there's a lot of concern about how this pre-K is going to be paid for. There's still a lot of questions revolving it. And then something hit me with a call that we got yesterday on the show, where a lady who lived in at the Hawthorne Apartments out on the east side was concerned about young people who hadn't gotten on the school bus for the second day of school, and were hanging out in the apartment complex, should have been in school, but they were hanging out in the apartment complex causing trouble. So that's kind of where the spirit led me for the first time in 3 years to ask questions directly of the chief executive officer of Indianapolis and Marion County, Mayor Greg Ballard. Also some questions to Greg Ballard. You'll hear me ask some questions. You'll hear the mayor's. I'll let you characterize how the mayor responded. Also, there's a Fox 59 female reporter who asked some questions, and you can judge that as well. Here we go.
Superintendent and mayor, in the mayor's remarks, he talked about, you know, students that drop out, students that aren't in school. We had a caller yesterday that lives in the Hawthorne apartment complexes, which is public housing, that reported a number of students who were hanging on the apartment, out in the apartments on the second day of school that were not in school. What is IPS doing to make sure that if their kids hanging out in the streets that ought to be in your classrooms, they're in your classrooms? What's the city going to do if there are kids that are out, whether they're in IPS or the townships or the charter? charters that are out in the neighborhoods and ought to be in school, ought to be in school.
So we are making calls and going out now. And so we've looked at enrollment and students that are not present, that are on our books. We are being very aggressive with calling parents, going to homes, ensuring that those students are in school. We've seen a dramatic increase from day one to day two in the number of students that are enrolled. We anticipate that will continue as we reach out to have all of our students in school and present.
On financing, your office, superintendent, says that IPS could lose as much as $600,000 because of the funding of the pre-K. We've not received any detailed estimates from the city as to the financing, but how would you replace those dollars, because those are dollars dedicated to transportation and debt service for the district, whereas any dollars that you get from the mayor's proposal would be general operating dollars. You couldn't use that to plug those holes, and we're talking maybe $3 million lost to schools in their transportation and debt service funds.
So ideally, we'd like to offer district-wide preschool without any financial impact to the district. However, in the mayor's proposal, we believe that through the investments that we're making currently, that those dollars would be matched. And so we would have additional dollars in the district to support pre-K, which would allow us to redirect some of our general fund dollars that we're currently using to support preschool and transportation.
But how can you use general fund dollars for the dedicated transportation and debt service? Those are separate funds of money. The general fund comes from income taxpayers all across the state of Indiana. Property tax dollars goes to transportation, building, and debt service. I don't think you can mix and match those two funds.
So you can't use transportation and capital projects funds for the general fund? But we have flexibility with the general fund that you can use general fund for transportation and capital projects. So the flexibility is in the general fund. And so anything that we spend, for example, we spend a lot of resources in supporting pre-K for special education. Due to maintenance of effort, we have to match those dollars with general fund dollars. And so we believe that we'll be able to balance that, hopefully, with what's in our general fund that we would save and additional dollars we receive for pre-K. But again, ideally, we'd like to offer preschool to all of our students without any financial impact to the district.
You say ideally, but this program provides for 1,300 students a year, so not all of them.
Well, right now, we're actually moving to actually have almost half of our pre-K students move on to our kindergarten. So we have about 3,000 kindergartners. We're really close to about 1,500 of our students being enrolled in our pre-K programs. And so through continued expansion, we believe that we'll meet that mark of having all of our students served.
And how will this play a role, the proposal to get these extra kids in preschool?
Well, in this proposal, we would receive match funding for any of the resources that we've dedicated to preschool. And so if we get to half of our students being served in pre-K, we believe that we should have the match funding to serve the other half, which would give us 100% of our students served in preschool.
We can't forget the whole ecosystem, the educational system, is going to benefit dramatically from the proposal. There are going to be little anomalies here and there, but you can't discount the fact that many more kids would be served throughout the city of Indianapolis.
More up over and above the 1,300, is that what you're saying?
Well, 1,300 is a really good start right now, right? So compared to what we were doing, we're hoping that we get matching funds along the way and people see the value of all this and hope that people come alongside and get even more. But I think it's very important that we try to reach every at-risk kid in the city that we possibly can.
Is it fair, Mayor, that given that this is an important program that affects all city residents, that all city residents ought to pay the cost of this? As I understand it, again, city has not provided me detailed analysis of the financing of this, but my understanding is that only some homeowners will be paying this. Renters will not. Businesses will not. Is that fair?
How we fund this in the future is still developing, but we know what we want to do. I mean, the $25 million right up front, we hope to get additional funding as we go. But what's fair is that these kids get educated. That's what's really fair, and that's what we're really concentrating on.
So demand is very high. When we open a class, we have tremendous interest. One of the challenges that we have, though, is transportation. So in our current pre-K classes that we offer, we don't offer transportation. And many families have asked if we can explore providing transportation. And that's something that we're studying the feasibility on because we know some families are challenged with transportation. But we're here today in the classes that we're visiting. We're strategically placed in schools where we saw tremendous interest. And so we'll continue to expand, and that will be based on need and interest.
If you get the 1,300 students that the mayor wishes for as planned, do you have room for them by now?
Yes, and that's what's really exciting is we have an opportunity to better utilize some of the space that we have now. So we have a number of campuses that have utilization that under what we would like to see. And we believe that if we maximize the space that we have, not only do we have an opportunity to help students be better prepared for kindergarten and beyond, but we'll also increase our utilization and our efficiency in our building. So we're excited about maximizing the facilities that we currently have.
This is for the mayor. When you see these young kids in the classroom you just visited, and knowing that maybe if you don't reach them, what could happen, just tell us why you think this is so important.
This is the sad part on so many levels. I've said repeatedly what we've been doing over the last 4 years really hasn't worked across the country, and so we're taking kind of a bold step out here. Give Dr. Fairbury a lot of credit. I think almost half your schools right now have pre-K in them, so that's a big step from where they were just a few years ago. So. But with this, like he said in his first question, first answer, the data's pretty clear on all this. These kids have a lot better shot at having a successful life if we do this. And that's just very, very clear. And it pains me personally, as I said during that initial session, that we, when we look back at it, we wonder why we haven't done this. We are in this school for a particular reason. The namesake of this school is the one who pushed kindergarten back in the 1880s for at-risk youth. Which was revolutionary at the time, absolutely revolutionary, because people back then were starting to realize if we don't take care of the kids at a young age, they're not going to grow up to be productive, live productive lives. And somewhere along the line, we forgot that. We just forgot it. And so we have to get back to what we know is common sense, take care of our kids at a very young age so they can lead productive lives.
How do you make sure you're reaching that at-risk group?
Well, we know who the kids are, and there are certain organizations that touch a lot of families. Certainly the school systems know. There are health organizations that know. There's absolutely ways to know where to go.
What would you say to your critics who ask, how is this going to help crime now?
I don't listen to things like that. This is so obvious.
This is for the mayor. Have you had the opportunity to talk with any council members about the plan, specifically the Democrats?
They're scheduled. My team's already talked to them.
So what's your plan going forward?
No, I don't discuss my personal meetings with people.
Would you expect?
But we have plans scheduled.
Would you expect the Democrats to support this plan, Bruce Cole?
I would hope so.
Given that a fair number of at-risk four-year-olds do not live in the IPS school district, granted we're here, what conversations are your team doing with the other 10 township districts here in Marion County? Are they participating in the plan, or is your plan designed that the pre-K that taxpayers would fund would only be in IPS?
No, it's for the whole city.
Have there been discussions with the other school superintendents?
Those are occurring.
When will we get a schedule of when those are occurring? Will they be authorized to say, hey, we've talked to the city and the mayor and we're either on board or not on board?
Those are occurring. Those are occurring.
Well. We'll take a break and get your reactions. 239-1310, 239-1310, or send me an email at praiseindy.com or a text message at 37890, keyword Amos. That's your mayor. You know, if somebody from Mars, Drew, was listening to those two gentlemen, they would have thought Louis Farabee was the mayor and the other guy was the school superintendent if you were just listening to that and didn't know any of the personalities. That afternoon's with Amos on a Wednesday.